An Osho Talk. When the Shoe Fits. Talks on the stories of Chontuzu. Number 5.
The Prince of Wu took a boat to Monkey Mountain. As soon as the monkeys saw him, they all fled in panic and hid in the treetops. One monkey, however, remained, completely unconcerned, swinging from branch to branch, an extraordinary display. The prince shot an arrow at the monkey, but the monkey dexterously caught the arrow in mid-flight. At this, the prince ordered his attendants to make a concerted attack. In an instant, the monkey was shot full of arrows and fell dead. Then the king turned to his companion, Yan Pui. You see what happened? This animal advertised his cleverness. He trusted his own skill. He thought no one could touch him. Remember that. Do not rely on distinction and talent when you deal with men. When they returned home, Yan Pui became a disciple of a sage to get rid of everything that made him outstanding. He renounced pleasure. He learned to hide every distinction. Soon, no one in the kingdom knew what to make of him. Thus, they held him in awe.
This story. Carries one of the most secret keys of Tao. Tao says, whatsoever is beautiful in you, hide it. Never act it out. Whatsoever is truthful in you, valuable, hide it. Because whenever a truth is hidden in the heart, it grows like a seed hidden in the earth. Don't throw it out. If you throw a seed on the street for everybody to see, it will die, and die to no purpose. It will simply die. There will be no rebirth. Treat all that is beautiful, good, and true just like a seed. Give it a soil, a hidden place in the heart. Don't display it. But just the opposite is done by everybody. Whatsoever is wrong, you hide it. You don't want it to be known by others. Whatsoever is ugly, you hide it. And whatsoever is beautiful, even if it is not, you try to advertise it. You magnify it. You display it. Hence the misery, because the ugly grows and the beautiful is lost. The untrue grows, it becomes a seed, and the truth is thrown away. The precious is thrown and the rubbish grows. You become like weeds. No flower comes to your life because you have never been doing the right thing to hide a seed of the flower within. Just the opposite is the path. And I say this is one of the most secret keys of Tao. A man of Tao remains almost ordinary, absolutely ordinary. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows what he carries within him, what treasure. He never advertises, he never tries to display. But why we advertise? Because of the ego. You are not satisfied with yourself. You will be satisfied only when others appreciate you. Kohinoor is not enough. You may have a valuable stone, it is not enough. Others must appreciate. Others' opinion is more valuable, not your being. You look into others' eyes as if they are mirrors. And if they appreciate, they applaud, you feel good. Ego is a false phenomenon. It is accumulation of others' opinions. It is not a knowledge of the self. This self, the so-called self, which is really the ego, is nothing but accumulation of reflections. And then there is always fear. Others may change their mind. You are always dependent on them. They say you are good. You have to follow their rules to remain good. You have to follow them to remain good in their eyes. Because once they change their opinion, you will no more be good. You have no direct approach to your being. It is via others. So not only you advertise, you magnify, you falsify. You may have a little truth, a little beauty. You magnify it. It becomes ridiculous. I remember, and I will never forget it, the first time Mulla Nasruddin was introduced to me. A common friend introduced him. And the friend said, among other things, that Mulla Nasruddin is a great writer also. And he smiled knowingly. So I asked Mulla Nasruddin, what you have written? He said, just now, I have finished Hamlet. I couldn't believe my ears. So I asked him again, have you ever heard the name of a guy known as William Shakespeare? Mulla Nasruddin said, this is strange, because the first time when I wrote Macbeth, somebody did ask the same thing. And he said, who is this man, William Shakespeare? It seems he goes on copying me. Whatsoever I write, he also writes. You think everybody is copying you? And the reality is, you go on copying everybody. You are a carbon copy. You are not a real person. Because a real person never needs any display. I have heard, once it happened, on a hill station in the lawn of a big hotel. Three elderly women were playing cards. A fourth approached, and she asked, can she also join them? They said, of course, you are welcome, but there are few rules. And they handed her a card, printed card, with four rules on it. First, the first rule was, never talk about mink coats, because we all have them. Second, never talk about your grandchildren, because we are all grandmothers. Third, never talk about jewelry, because we all have precious jewelry purchased from the best of places. And fourthly, never talk about sex. What was, was. But everybody wants to talk about himself, the mink coats, the jewelry, the children, the sex, and everybody bores everybody else. And if you tolerate bores, you tolerate only because that's a mutual understanding. If he is boring you, he will allow himself to be bored by you. You are just waiting when he stops his display, you can start your own. And whole life becomes a false, a continued display. What you achieve through it? Just a false feeling that you are important? Extraordinary? How one can become extraordinary by mink coats? How one can become extraordinary by valuable jewelry? How one can become extraordinary by doing this or that? Extraordinariness is not concerned with what you do. It is concerned with what you are. And you are already extraordinary. Everyone is unique. There is no need to prove it. If you try to prove, you just prove the opposite. If something is already the case, how can you prove it? If you try to prove it, you simply show that you are not aware of the unique that has already happened to you. So whatsoever you want to prove shows you are doubtful about it. You want to destroy your doubt through others' eyes, their opinions. You are not really convinced of your beautiful person. You would like others to say that you are beautiful. It happened in a small village. It was the custom of the village priest. Whenever he would marry somebody, he will kiss the bride. It was old tradition. One woman who was going to be married was very much concerned. She thought herself very beautiful, as every woman thinks. It is womanly. It is nothing new. Every woman thinks, even the ugliest. She thought herself very beautiful. And she was very much concerned and worried, and she told again and again to the would-be husband, to the bride, that go and tell that priest that I don't like to be kissed after the marriage. Just before the marriage, she again asked the groom, had you gone to the priest and told him? The groom said yes. Very sadly, asked the bride, "Why you are so sad?" The groom said, "I told the priest," and he was very happy, and he said, "In that case, I will charge only half the usual fee." You may go on thinking yourself a beautiful person. Nobody thinks that way, because everybody is concerned with his own beauty, not with yours. And if anybody nods and says, "Yes, you are beautiful," he is just waiting for you to nod about his or her beauty. That's a mutual bargain. You fulfill my ego, I fulfill yours. I know well that you are not beautiful, you know well that I am not beautiful. But I fulfill yours, so you fulfill mine. And everybody seems to be in such a need to feel unique. That means you have not come upon to your own being, which is unique without any proof. Proofs are needed only for lies, remember. That's why you cannot prove God, because He is the ultimate truth. Proofs are needed only for lies. Truth needs no proof. It is. Simply it is. And I tell you that you are unique, extraordinary. Don't try to be so, it is ridiculous. You simply become a laughing stock. And everybody smiles when you turn your back. Because if you are not convinced about your uniqueness, who is going to be convinced about it? Conviction is beyond proof. How it comes? It comes through self-knowledge. So these are the two ways. Knowledge, direct, knowing oneself directly, immediately, this is the right way. And the wrong way is knowing oneself through others, what they say. And if you don't know yourself, how they can know? They are very far away. You are the nearest person to know yourself. You don't know your reality, how others can know? But because we lack self-knowledge, we need a substitute. Ego is the substitute. And ego is on constant display. You are just like a display window in a market. You have become a commodity. You have made yourself a commodity. On the display. Always on the display. Always begging that somebody should say you are good, beautiful, you are saintly, you are great, extraordinary. Tao is against it. Because Tao says this is how you waste your life. The same energy can move directly towards your being. And when the being is revealed, it is extraordinary. So a man who is in search of self-knowledge will remain ordinary in the eyes of others. He will not bother. He will hide himself. He will not display. He will not be on exhibition. He will not be a stage show. He will remain silently, live silently, enjoy life silently. He would like that nobody bothers about him. Because whenever somebody bothers about you, thinks about you, it is going to be difficult and complex. Self-knowledge becomes more and more difficult. Alone you have to go there. And if you are looking at the crowd, and if you think that the crowd has to follow you, you will never reach it. If you are an exhibitionist, then you will remain a commodity, a thing. You can never become a person. Because person is hidden deep in the recesses of being. It is the deepest possibility in whole of existence. You are the greatest abyss. Nobody else can go with you there. You will have to go alone. And if you are too much concerned about others, what they say, what they think, you will remain on the periphery. One thing. And second thing, just to be on the display, you hide whatsoever is ugly. In clothes, in words, in gestures, in masks, in actions, you try to hide whatsoever is ugly and wrong. What are you doing? This wrong will become a seed inside and it will grow. And the more you push it in, more you are throwing towards the source of all energy. It will be strengthened. And the beautiful you throw out, it will never become a seed. Just do the opposite. If you have something ugly, sow it to others. It disperses. If you are an angry man, tell everybody that I am an angry man. Don't love me. Don't be a friend to me. I am a very bad man. I am ugly. I am immoral. I am greedy. I am sexual. Say whatsoever is ugly about you. Not only say, authentically act it out. And you will be surprised that whenever something is thrown out, it disperses. And hide the beautiful. Let it go deeper so that it can get roots in your being and it will grow. But just the opposite you have been doing. Now, try to understand this story. The Prince of Wu took a boat to Monkey Mountain. Chuang Tzu always watched monkeys. He was deeply interested in them because they are the forefathers of man. And a monkey is hidden in you. This whole world is nothing but a monkey mountain. All around are monkeys. What is the characteristic of a monkey? What is the deepest character in a monkey? It is copying. Gurdjieff used to say that you cannot become a man unless you stop being a monkey. And he was right. Somebody asked him, what is the deepest character of a monkey? He said, copying, imitation. Monkey is a perfect imitator. What you have been doing your whole life. Have you been a man or a monkey? You imitate. You just look around and you follow. Following, you become false. You see somebody is walking that way, you try to walk that way. Somebody is wearing a particular dress, you would like to have that dress. Somebody has got a car, you would like to have that car. Everything. You never look what is your need. And if you look to your need, life can become a blissful existence. Because needs are not much. Imitation will lead you on a path which reaches nowhere to the end. Needs are not much, needs are always few. If you look to your need, you can be satisfied. Contentment is easy. Because what is needed? Few are the needs. But if you imitate, then millions, unnecessary needs crowd all around. And there is no end to them, because there are millions of people. And you would like to imitate everybody. And it becomes impossible. And you start living everybody's life, and then you forget that you were here to do your own thing. And you have become an imitator. Here you were to fulfill your own destiny. And that destiny is individual. It is nobody else. This existence has given birth to you to fulfill a particular destiny which cannot be fulfilled by anybody else. No Buddha can do. No Jesus can do it. Only you can do it. And you are imitating. That's why Hindus say, unless you stop imitation, you will be thrown again and again to existence. That is the theory of rebirth. You will be thrown again and again unless you fulfill the destiny. Unless you flower, you will have to come back. How can you flower if you imitate? You see a musician and you want to be a musician. You see an actor and you want to be an actor. You see a doctor and you want to be a doctor. You want to be everything except yourself. And only that is which you can be, nothing else. Nothing else is possible. And nobody else is like you. So nobody can become your ideal. Love a Buddha. Buddha is beautiful, but don't imitate. Then you miss. Jesus is wonderful, but he is no more needed. Existence has fulfilled that destiny. That work is complete. He has come to a flowering. That's why whenever a person has flowered, he never comes back. Love Jesus, but don't be an imitator. Otherwise, you will end up unfulfilled in misery and anguish. You cannot follow really anybody. You can take hints. But then you have to be very alert. Hints should not become blind imitations. If you see a Buddha, take the hint. How he has flowered. What are the methods? What he has been doing? Try to understand it. And let that understanding be absorbed. By and by, you will start feeling your path. It will never be like the Buddha. It can never be. It will be absolutely different. But absorbing Buddha will help. You will have to grow in your own way. But absorbing him will make you more understanding. That's the difference between an authentic disciple and a follower who is false. A disciple is something totally different than a follower. And I would like to tell you, be my disciples but not my followers. What is discipline? Discipline is learning. The root word of discipline comes from learning. It has nothing to do with self-control. No. A disciple is one who is ready to learn. A disciple is one who is ready to absorb. A disciple is one who is open, receptive. A disciple is one who is ready to become a womb. He is not antagonistic. He is not fighting and arguing. He is trying to understand. And when you try to understand, head stops functioning. Because the head can do two things. Either it can fight or it can follow. Either it can be a blind follower or a blind enemy. But it can never be a disciple. A disciple is totally different because he is not head-oriented. A disciple is oriented from the heart. He loves the master, absorbs him, and then goes on his own way. It is a very indirect, very delicate thing. It is not direct. You cannot just look at the master and do whatsoever he is doing, then you will become a follower. Learn the words and start repeating them. Then you will become a follower. Then the effort has been in the head, and head is the problem. Whenever you are not fighting and not in search of somebody to imitate, your consciousness falls from the head to the heart, then you are open. Then you are simply in love. That's what is meant by Shraddha, faith, trust. It is neither belief nor disbelief. Don't think that trust or faith is belief. It is not. Belief is in the head. Disbelief is in the head. Trust is in the heart. It has nothing to do with belief or not belief. Believing, not believing is not a concern at all. You simply love. You see a rose flower. You believe in it or you disbelieve in it. You don't do anything, you simply look at it. Nobody is a follower. Nobody is against. The sun rises in the morning, what you do? You are a believer or a disbeliever? Do you close your eyes because you are a disbeliever? Are you follow the path of the sun the whole day because you are a follower? Either way you will go mad. You simply enjoy. You absorb the morning, the freshness of it, the youngness, the newness. With the sun everything is becoming alive. The very life you enjoy and become more alive through it. You look at a rose, and something of the rose reaches to your heart. Outside the rose is flowering, inside the heart starts flowering. You reach a master, a Buddha or Jesus or Chuang Tzu, what you do, do exactly as you would do with a rose or with a sunrise. No need to follow, no need not to follow, just absorb. Jesus' last words are to his disciples, "Eat me." Let me be your drink and your food. Let me flow in your blood. Absorb me. When he says, "Eat me," that means absorb me, digest me. Don't follow outwardly, digest me. And then you will have your own inner light. A real master never gives you rules. He gives you the eye. He He never shows you the path that this is the path, follow. He simply gives you the light and says, now, have the light and go into the darkness. This light will show your path. A false master always gives you a map. This is the map. Don't go astray and follow this map. He never gives you the light. If you have the light, then there is no need of the map. You will find out your path. And everybody's path is going to be different because everybody is different. Let this understanding go deep in your heart that there are not two persons similar. Cannot be. Existence is not repetitive. Existence is yet not exhausted. Existence goes on flowering in new uniquenesses. And everybody is extraordinary. No need to prove it. If you want to prove, you will become a monkey and not a man. Stop copying. Easy to copy. Difficult to understand. That's why one copies, because it's so easy. Just a rule has to be followed. You need not have any understanding about it. A clear-cut rule is there and you follow. People come to me and they say, give us clear-cut rules so that we can follow. They are saying that we are not going to grow. We are not going to become mature ourselves. You simply give us clear-cut rules. What to eat, what not to eat. When to get up early in the morning and when to go to bed. Just give us clear-cut rules so that we can follow. You want to become a monkey, not a man. A man will never ask for clear-cut rules. He will ask for understanding so he can find his own way. So he can move in the wide world. He need not have a map with him. No need of any compass. Just your inner light will show your path. And then there is beauty because there is freedom. When there is no freedom, there is no beauty. Bondage, slavery is the ugliest thing in the world. The Prince of Wu took a boat to Monkey Mountain. As soon as the monkeys saw him, they all fled in panic and hid in the treetops. One monkey, however, remained completely unconcerned, swinging from branch to branch, an extraordinary display. That monkey must have been a leader of the monkeys. Some president, some prime minister. When all ordinary mortals fled, how can a leader? How can a great leader, follow ordinary monkeys? He had to show himself his toughness. Otherwise, in the eyes of the monkeys, his prestige will be gone. It was not a show for the prince. It was a show for the other monkeys. If you want to remain a leader, you have to be tough. If you want to remain a leader, you have to go on display. All the political leaders are always on display. You never know their real faces. Nobody knows. Not even their wives and children know their real faces. They have become so efficient. that nobody knows who they are. They always go on just sowing. It is said that if a politician says yes to something, it means perhaps. If he says perhaps, it means no. And if he says no, he is not a politician at all. Whatsoever a politician says, he never means it. Whatsoever he means, he never says it. And in a politician, you can understand yourself, because he is just a magnified picture of you. The leader is just a magnified picture of the follower. And it is always easy to see things in a magnified picture. With a magnifying glass, you can see. It is good to try to understand leaders of men, because they are the great monkeys. And you think you are following them, basically deep down, they are following you. A leader is always a follower of his own followers, because he has to look always where you are going, what you are doing. He must know beforehand where the wind is blowing, so he will be just ahead. Once Mullah Nasruddin was going on his donkey somewhere, and the donkey was going fast. A friend asked, "Where are you going, Nasruddin?" Nasruddin said, "To tell you the truth, don't ask me. Ask this donkey." The man was puzzled. He said, "What do you mean?" Mullah Nasruddin said, "You are a friend, so I must be true and frank. This donkey is adamant, as all donkeys are, is stubborn. And he creates difficulties. When I pass through a market or a town, and if I insist that we should go this way, he insists on the other. And then just in the marketplace, it becomes ridiculous. I become a laughing stock. People say that not even your donkey follows you. So I have made it a rule that wherever he goes, I go with him. Everybody thinks the donkey is following me. That is not true. And the donkey also feels happy, and my prestige is safe." Every great leader just goes on following his followers. He goes on seeing where the wind is blowing. He must always be ahead. And that is the secret of being a great leader. You must be able to know what people want. And you must give that slogan before they have become aware what they want. Then they follow you. This monkey must have been a leader. It has to be shown that he is not afraid even of a great prince. Other monkeys have fled, poor ordinary monkeys. But he is no ordinary monkey. He is a king himself. He must stick. He must remain here. That's how he will get more prestige in the eyes of the monkeys. One monkey, however, remained completely unconcerned, swinging from branch to branch, an extraordinary display. The prince shot an arrow at the monkey, and your princes are also not very different, because this was insulting to the prince. this monkey was doing insult. He was happy with other monkeys who have taken a flight, a great prince himself, and just an ordinary monkey trying to display, showing that he is tough. No, this cannot be allowed, because the prince has his own followers. The prince has to look to other men. They will think that even a monkey does not bother, is unconcerned with the prince. The monkey has to be killed. The logic remains the same whether you are a man or a monkey. The prince shot an arrow at the monkey. But the monkey dexterously caught the arrow in mid-flight. At this, the prince ordered his attendants to make a concerted attack, because this monkey seems to be too much arrogant, very egoistic. And look, the prince can see the ego of the monkey, but he cannot see his own ego. And this is happening all over the world. In every relationship, you can always see the ego of the other, but you cannot see your own. The other goes on seeing your ego. This is the story written by a man. Just think, if monkeys have written this story, it would have been absolutely different. Just think, a Chuang Tzu amongst monkeys writing this story. Then they must have written that the prince was very arrogant, stubborn, and unnecessarily violent. Because the monkey was not doing anything, he was enjoying himself. Why he should be offended? Why should he feel that this monkey has to be killed? That prince must have been a very, very egoistic person. He tried to kill, and the monkey was simply defending himself, nothing else. If you look the story from the standpoint of a monkey, it will be totally different. But the base is the same. And this always happens. And a man of wisdom always looks at every problem from the other's point of view also. You cannot be wise if you have only one point of view. Sometimes try to stand in other's shoes and just look from there. I always suggest couples come to me, wife and husband, and greater problems are there, the greatest, because that is the basic unit of life. Much tension, much ego, much falsity goes on and on and on, and it becomes a hell. Couples come to me, and I always suggest that one day you try, let the wife become the husband, and the husband become the wife. For 24 hours, try the other's role, and then it will be very easy to understand the other. Even in 1 hour dialogue, play the other's role. And reply from the other's point of view, and you will feel much relaxed. One must be flexible to see what the others should be feeling right now. The husband comes home and he says something, and he feels very innocent, but the wife feels offended. He can't understand what is happening. He has not said anything. Just meditate a little. Be in the wife's place, think that you are the wife and the husband comes and says the same sentence, how you will feel? And immediately you will be able to understand why the wife is feeling that way. And if you can understand the other, you will be able to understand yourself more. The other always sees that you are egoist. You never see it. You are blind to yourself. The prince was also blind. He could see that this monkey is trying to display. He couldn't see that why he is feeling offended. Let him display. Monkeys are monkeys. Let him enjoy. And he is not doing any wrong to anybody, just jumping from one branch to another, swaying, playing a game. Let him play. Why? The prince was so much concerned. He felt that he is being offended. This monkey is trying to say that you are nothing, I am unconcerned. You may be a prince of men, but monkeys don't bother about you. And I am also a prince. And you are nothing before me. Can you sway like me from one branch to another? It is said that when Darwin discovered that man is an evolution from monkeys, somebody retorted that first ask the monkeys also. And I am also always of the opinion that if we ask the monkeys, they cannot say that man is the evolution. It is a fall. Fall from the monkeys. Look, monkeys are stronger than you. They can do few things you cannot do. They are much happier than you. They enjoy life more than you. So what have you gained through your evolution? Your mechanical gadgets, your weapons, your atomic bombs. Why do you think that it is an evolution, a growth, a development? Ask the monkeys. They will laugh and they will say, you are fools. You cannot even walk on four. You cannot climb the tree like a monkey. That monkey and the prince are both in the same boat. The prince shot an arrow at the monkey, but the monkey dexterously caught the arrow in mid-flight. And prince is more violent than the monkey. Because he is simply displaying why you should kill him. But man is more violent than any animal. There is a zoo in Tokyo. If you go ever to Tokyo, never miss the zoo. Go there. All sorts of wild animals are there. Hundreds of cages. And there is a last cage where there is a notice board, the most dangerous animal of all. But the cage is vacant, empty. If you look, and you will look for the most dangerous animal of all, you will find him. Because there is a mirror. The monkey was innocent in his ego. Animals have their egos, but still they are innocent, not so violent. But man is violent. Man seems to be the only violent animal. Tigers kill, lions kill, but just to eat. Never otherwise. man kills, not only to eat, he enjoys killing. Hunting is a game for him. He will simply kill to kill. And no animal in the world kills his own brothers and sisters. No. A lion will not kill another lion. A monkey will not kill another monkey. Only man is the animal who kills other men. There is an inbuilt protection in every animal. Now, zoologists say that every animal carries an inbuilt mechanism not to kill of the same species. But it seems something has gone wrong with man. He kills his own species. There is nothing like war in the animal world. Individual fights are there, and they are more understanding. If two dogs fight, sooner or later, within minutes, they come to understanding. Man never comes to understanding. Unless he kills, there seems to be no solution. Even dogs are more intelligent. If two dogs bark, show their teeth, jump at each other, that is just a show. They are trying to feel the pulse, who is more stronger. It is a mock fight. They have not yet started. And when the one feels that I am not so stronger, then it is futile to fight. He simply shows by his tail, stop, and thing is finished. They have come to an understanding. A hierarchy is established. The stronger, of course, will win. So why go through a fight unnecessarily? Only man is the foolish, the most foolish animal, because he will never believe that the weaker is going to be defeated and the stronger is going to be the victorious. It is an ordinary arithmetic that the stronger will win, so why fight? There is no need. Hitler can bark at Stalin, Stalin can bark at Hitler, and they both can call their mathematicians and count who has more aeroplanes, more bombs. Within minutes, thing can be settled. Then you just show by your tail. No need to go in a war. Because the war will only prove this, which can be done on the table, that who was more stronger. Why such wastage? Such wastage of human beings. But no, it is impossible. Human beings are so egoist, even the weaker thinks that somehow he is going to win. No animal deceives so much. Mock fights are there just to judge who is stronger. Then it is finished. You will say a dog who pulls down his tail that he is a coward. No, he is not. He is simply intelligent. Because he is weak, so what is the need to go into a fight? It is proved. And it's proved so innocently without any blood. Even through fight, this is going to be proved. Why go unnecessarily? This is more economical. At this, the prince ordered his attendants to make a concerted attack. Look at the foolishness, just to kill a monkey, a concerted attack. So many men attacking a monkey from all the sides. In an instant, the monkey was shot full of arrows and fell dead. And the prince must have felt very good. He has done something. But look at the foolishness. A concerted attack of so many people, and with the king at least 100 attendants must have been there. 100 men killing a monkey and then feeling good. victorious. Monkeys must be laughing what you have done. The monkey was shot full of arrows and fell dead. Then the king turned to his companion Ain Pui and look how even in our foolishness we prove that we are wise. This prince has killed unnecessarily. And in no way this can be said a victory. Because just to kill one monkey by a concerted attack of 100 persons with arrows, and the monkey was without any weapon, naked, no protection. Is it a victory? It is not a victory at all. It is not even diplomacy. Because even ordinarily we would like that if we fight a warrior, we give the weapon to the other. He must have a sword and he must have the same protection. They were all protected. An unprotected, innocent animal has been killed. The prince is foolish. But look at his advice. Even from our foolishness, we go on feeling that we are wise. What he said? He said to his companion Ain Pui, "You see what happened? This animal advertised his cleverness. He trusted his own skill. He thought no one could touch him. Remember that. Do not rely on distinction and talent when you deal with man." This is one of the subtle things to be understood. We are always wise if we have to advise others. But when we are in the same trap, in the same problem, the same crisis, we are not so wise. If somebody else comes to you with a problem, you will give him a good advice. And the advice may be right. But if you are in the same problem, you will not be able to give yourself the same advice. Why? Because when it is somebody else's problem, you are detached. This prince told his companion, "You see what happened? This animal advertised his cleverness. He trusted his own skill. He thought no one could touch him. Remember that. Do not rely on distinction and talent when you deal with men." He could see the foolishness of the monkey, but he has not seen his own foolishness, what he has done. And as I feel, he has done more foolish thing than the monkey. He has also advertised his skill. He has also shown his talent. And not only with men, with monkeys. He has displayed who he is. He is not an ordinary man. He is an extraordinary king. He is no ordinary mortal. And now he says this advice to his friend, "Then do not rely on distinction and talent when you deal with man." But the advice is right. And it happened, as it happens many times, that the friend took the advice and transformed his whole being. And the prince remained the same. So if you can learn, you can learn from fools also. If you cannot learn, even a Buddha is useless. You will not learn. And sometimes it happens that people who advise you remain the same. If you can learn, you can transform yourself. Sometimes teachers are left behind and disciples move fast and reach to the goal. Because you can give good advice to others, that doesn't mean that you have attained that truth. This is good. The advice is beautiful. And Tao says the same thing. Not with the same mind of the prince. Tao has the same teaching. Chuang Tzu has put the teaching in prince's mouth. But the prince is just like a scholar, a pandit, who knows the words, but who has not lived it through. It is not a live experience. It is just a doctrine. This prince must have heard it from somewhere, from some Taoist source, because this is their keys, one of the keys. You see what happened? This animal advertised his cleverness. He trusted his own skull. He thought no one could touch him. Remember that. Don't display. Don't exhibit. Otherwise you will call unnecessary troubles. You will invite unnecessary problems. Even you may got so much in it that it may prove your death. Do not rely on distinction and talent when you deal with men. But this advice from the mouth of a prince. But it is so it happens in life. You don't bother who is saying. You simply took the advice and you will be changed. But you also bother. This friend was really a wise man. Because he didn't bother whether this prince himself follows what he is saying. What is the use to think about the bottles? Just take the content. What is the use to ask about the container? Just taste the content. And if the content is good, forget the container. This prince was in the same position as the monkey, even worse. But he uttered one of the secrets of Taoist teachings. He may have read about it, he may have taught, and suddenly the situation provoked his knowledge. And he said to the companion, don't display, don't become an exhibitionist, otherwise you will be in trouble, and don't rely on distinction and talent when you deal with men. Why? Because every man is an egoist. If you depend on your talent, you will be in trouble because you will create enemies. If you depend on distinction, you will be in trouble because all around you there will be enemies. Nobody wants you to be superior to them. Once Mullah Nasruddin came to me, very much excited. And he said, now you have to help me. I asked him, what is the matter? He said, I feel terrible. It is awful. Recently I have been developing an inferiority complex. Help me do something. So I asked, tell me something more about it. Why you are feeling inferiority complex? He said, recently I have been feeling that everybody is as good as I am. Whenever you sow your talent, you are sowing that the other is not as good. The other will be offended. Remember, if the prince is offended just by a monkey swaying in the trees, if you show your distinction, if you say that I am something, if you try to prove in subtle ways your talent, everybody will be offended. And they cannot forgive you. They will take the revenge. And with every man of distinction, the masses take revenge. It may be that Jesus was crucified because the masses could not tolerate his superiority, and he was superior. They could not tolerate this man of qualities. Extraordinary he was. They had to kill him. Athens could not tolerate Socrates. He was rare. One of the most unique minds ever born. So penetrating that there is no comparison. Athens could not tolerate. Everybody felt offended. Chuang Tzu says, don't rely on talent when you deal with man. Remain hidden. This has to be remembered, that never a Taoist master has been crucified or poisoned. Never. Because they never rely on talent. They never say that we are distinct from you. They never say that we are higher than you, diviner than you, holier than you. No. They never say anything. They behave in such a way that everybody with them will feel that he is superior than them. Chuang Tzu himself lived such an ordinary life and such a beautiful life that nobody will even suspect that here is a man of very extraordinary dimensions. He will pass through villages and the villages will not become even aware that Chuang Tzu has passed. Once it happened that the emperor heard about Chuang Tzu from some source, and the rumor was that he is a very wise man. So he sent his prime minister in search of him. But where to find him? Because he had no home, no address. He was a wanderer. Because Chuang Tzu used to say that if you are in one place, it is difficult to hide. People will start suspecting. Because you have something, they will suspect. And by they will become aware. So before they become aware, leave them. Otherwise you will be in trouble. So he was a constant wanderer. No address, no home, where to find him. But they tried. When the emperor ordered, it has to be tried. They asked many Taoist teachers where we should find Chuang Tzu. They said, very difficult. Nobody knows. He moves like wind. Unknown. Like a cloud. Whereabouts unknown. But you go. And if some village says that there is a man who is absolutely ordinary, then catch that man. He may be Chuang Tzu. And they found him this way. In a village, some people reported, yes, there is a man who has come just now in this town. Absolutely ordinary. You cannot find more ordinary a man than him. So where he is, They told him he is fishing on the bank of the river. So they went there. They asked Chantazu that the emperor has inquired about you and we have been searching for you. Would you like to come to the court? Would you like to become a member of the court, the advisor to the king? Chantazu said, wait and let me think. And next day when they came to ask him, he was not found in that village. He escaped. People have suspected. They have come to know. A man of Tao moves absolutely without identity. Why? Because if you show talent, then people cannot forgive you. People can forgive fools, but they cannot forgive wise men. That's why Jesus is crucified. Socrates is poisoned. You feel so utterly inferior before a Jesus or a Socrates. How can you forgive? It is natural. You will make a concerted attack. You all will make a concerted attack to kill that man. Then you will feel a burden has been thrown. A Jesus is so superb. Just he stands by your side and you feel inferior. He has to hide himself. This teaching is very basic, and the prince told these words to his companion Yan Pui. When they returned home, Yan Pui became a disciple of a sage to get rid of everything that made him outstanding. He renounced pleasure. He learned to hid every distinction. Soon no one in the kingdom knew what to make of him. Thus they held him in awe. Many things. One, this man Yan Pui is really a wise man. He didn't bother. Who has given the message to him? He didn't bother about the vehicle. He simply took the message. Remember this. You always bother about the vehicle. If I say something to you, you start thinking about me. Whether this man is reliable, whether this man has attained what he is saying. You first would like to be convinced about me, and that is impossible. What I am saying, look at that, forget me completely. It is my business whether I have attained or not. It is none of your business. How you are concerned about it? Whatsoever I am saying, if you feel the fragrance of it, try it. The medicine, not the doctor. Don't be concerned with the doctor. Be concerned with the medicine. Because finally it is medicine that is going to cure you. And it is possible to find the right medicine even from a quick doctor. The otherwise is also possible. It is possible to find a wrong medicine from a right doctor. The real thing is the medicine. This man, Ayn Pui, must have been a very wise and intelligent man. Otherwise, he would have thought this fool of a prince. He is giving me advice. And he himself lives with distinction. Lives an exhibitionist's life. Nobody lives like kings. They are always on display, on the throne. They want to make it clear to everybody that nobody is like them. They create a distance between ordinary mortals and themselves, a gap. You cannot go and put your hand on a king's soldier. No, he will feel offended. What are you doing? Are you saying that you are similar to me? You will be killed. It is said that Hitler never allowed anybody to put hand on his soldiers. Never. There was not a single friend. Nobody was allowed to use his name Hitler. He was to be called Führer. But nobody was allowed to use his proper name, because that will sow friendship. He never loved any woman, because it is very difficult to love a woman and not to make her an equal with you. It is impossible. And women are so intelligent and cunning. If you love them, they will not only try to be equal, they will try to be superior. And they prove. He never loved a woman. He had some relationships, but never a love relationship, just sexual. And he will treat the woman just like a servant, not only servant, but a slave. He lived with a woman for many years. And one day, just a small incident, the woman wanted to go and see her mother. The mother was ill and in the hospital. And Hitler said no. And he was very dictatorial. If he says no, he means it. The woman thought that don't discuss the matter more. When Hitler goes to the office, she can go just for a few minutes and see the mother and come back. There is nothing, a problem. Hitler went to the office, the woman went to see the mother and came back before Hitler was back. Just at the gate he inquired whether my girlfriend has been out. She has been out, he inquired, she has been to the hospital. He went in and without asking anything, killed her. Shot her dead immediately. What type of love? No, only slaves can be tolerated. Love makes you equal. An egoist person cannot love, because love equalizes. There are only two forces which equalize. One is love, another is death. When you love a person, you have become equal to that person. And if you really love, in that moment of love, you will feel that the whole existence is equal. Nobody is inferior and nobody is superior. Everybody is unique, different, but nobody is inferior, nobody is superior. In love, you feel a communion with the whole existence. Everything becomes equal, equally valuable. And death is a great equalizer. When you die, all distinctions drop. And a dead Hitler is just like a dead dog, no difference. Can you make any difference between a dead dog and a dead Hitler? Or even a dead Buddha? No distinction can be made. The body is just the same, dust unto dust. And those who can love can become and feel an equality with all of existence, even with rocks. If you are in love, you will feel the vibration that everything is equal, even a rock is as much equal as you. Then there is no death. Because then you cannot die. You have felt such unity with existence, this unity will continue. This form will disappear, this body will be no more there. But the innermost unity will remain. In new waves you will arise. In new trees you will flower. In new beings you will dance. But you will continue. This is one of the most paradoxical things. That you are unique and yet one with the existence. This paradox cannot be explained. You have to experience it. You are unique and yet one with the existence. When they returned home, Enpui became a disciple of a sage. He didn't bother whether the prince has taken his own advice to his heart or not. The prince continued the same, the old. But anyway, changed his whole existence. He became a disciple of a sage. And if you want to change your life, you have to become a disciple. Because alone it is almost difficult. Alone it is really impossible. You need a help of someone who has known. You need to trust in someone who has gone ahead of you. Discipline means to learn from someone, to surrender to someone, to be receptive to someone. Not to follow and imitate, but just to absorb his understanding so your own inner flame is lighted. Just to come with a lighted flame, so your own flame becomes lighted. Then you can move on your own. Then you have become a universe unto yourself. But before that, it is very difficult to find, difficult to move, difficult to reach to the right path. Near a sage, many things become possible. Many impossible things become possible. Because a sage is the only miracle in the world. He lives in the body and he is no more the body. He is here with you and no more with you. He touches you and yet a vast infinite distance exists between you and him. A sage is the only miracle. If you live around him, just silently, just absorbing, drinking his being, soon you will feel the miracle that it has started to change you. It is just like if you are ill, you go to Switzerland. What Switzerland can do? But the whole climate is healthy. In that healthy climate, your disease cannot persist. Your disease needs support. There is no support for it. It falls. Without support, it falls. Near a sage, you have changed your climate. You live with people who are ignorant, just like you. You live in a climate, a milieu. Then you come near a sage, you have changed the climate. You have come to the Himalayas, to the Alps, to Switzerland. Now the climate is different. Now he is not going to support your illnesses. He will by and by take all the support. Without the support, the illness falls. And when there is no illness, your own health flowers. All that can be done is to remove the illnesses. Health is there already. It is not to be given to you. Only remove the illness and health flowers. Near a sage, the climate changes. But you have to be open. If you go to Switzerland and you have an iron steel armor around you, you will not be changed, because your steel armor will carry its own climate within. Go to a sage without any armor, without any defense. That is what the meaning of surrender is. When they returned home, Enpui became a disciple of a sage to get rid of everything that made him outstanding. Look, all that we do in our life is how to become outstanding. How to be a first class, first in the university. How to get the gold medal. How to be a Nobel Prize winner. How to be outstanding in some way or other. Anything will do. Once Mullah Nasruddin knocked at the door of a manager of a great circus and he said, "You have to book me. I have a terrific act to do. I am a dwarf." The manager looked at Nasruddin. He was 6'2", 6 feet 2 inches. And he is saying, "I am a dwarf." So the manager says, "What are you saying? You seem to me 6 feet 2 inches. Nasruddin says, "Yes, that's right. I am the longest, tallest dwarf in the world." The mind goes on working ways and means how to be outstanding. If you cannot be anything, at least you can be the tallest dwarf. But be something, somebody. The whole education, culture, civilization teaches you to be outstanding. And Tao says, don't be outstanding, drop all that is outstanding. Just be ordinary. Just be simple. Easy is right. To be ordinary is to be right. Because to be ordinary, you will be easy. If you want to be extraordinary, outstanding, you will always remain uneasy and tense because you have to prove something. You have to convince others. And your whole life will remain always indecisive. With indecision, there will be wavering inside, a trembling. Anhui, rid of everything that made him outstanding, he renounced pleasure, he learned to hid every distinction. Soon no one in the kingdom knew what to make of him. Thus they held him in awe. And Tao says that when nobody knows what to make of you, you are so ordinary. Nobody knows what to make of you. Nobody knows any utility for you. You cannot be used. You are so ordinary without any talent. Then they say, the real mystery reveals through you. Then you become a real mystery. When you cannot be used, you become godlike. What is the meaning? Because whenever you are used, you become a thing. Whenever you cannot use, you become a person. A person is not a utility. A thing is a utility. If somebody asks you, "Who are you?" You say, I am a doctor. What do you mean? It means that the society is using you as a doctor. It is a function, not a personality. It is not your person, not your being. It is the utility. The society is using you as a doctor. Somebody is a carpenter. Somebody is a shoemaker. Is this your being or just the utility in the society? Society is using you as a thing. More valuable your use, more the society will value you. But if you drop all talents, you become just ordinary. And nobody knows what to do with you. Nobody can use you. You have gone beyond society. Now you are no more a thing. You have become a person. And this person does not mean that you will not do anything. You will do, but nobody will use you. You will do on your own. It will be your flowering. A rose flowers, not for those who will pass, not for those who will see, not for those who will smell the fragrance. No, it flowers on its own. A man of Tao flowers on its own. He is like a rose. He is not a utility. And a man who has not known the innermost being is always like a thing, always on the display in the window of a shop, waiting somebody to come and use, with all the certificates, distinctions, talents, crying, come and use me, make me a thing. And I am most valuable a thing. You will never get anything better than me. Come and use me. This is your whole cry. If this is your cry, you will become a thing. A man of Tao drops all distinctions. He burns all certificates. He destroys all bridges. He remains in himself. He becomes a flower. And this flowering, purposeless, for no utility, many are benefited by it. But it is not for them, it is for one's own self. He has attained his own destiny. Then there is fulfillment. Like a thing, you will remain unfulfilled. Because you have to be a person, an authentic person, not to be a thing. Not to be a husband, because to be a husband is a thing. Not to be a wife, because to be a wife is an utility. Just to be a flower. Then you can love. But there is no need to be a husband, no need to be a wife. Then you can share. But there is no need to advertise. A flower, flowers, does not need any advertisement. If somebody partakes of its pleasure and happiness, it is okay. If nobody passes on this path, it is also okay. When you flower for yourself, everything is okay. Nothing is wrong. When you are for somebody else, just waiting in a showcase, labeled, prized, cataloged, advertised, you will never reach to the fulfillment, because a thing is a dead thing. Only a person is alive. Be alive and be a person. And this you can never be if you go on copying. If you remain on the monkey mountain, you will never be the real. You will continue to be the false. drop all falsities, exhibitions, displays. Just be yourself, ordinary and unique, and fulfill your destiny. Nobody else can do it for you. You can absorb me. You cannot follow me. I never followed anybody. I had my own path. You will have your own path. You will move on a path nobody has ever moved. Nobody will move on it ever again. In the spiritual world, no footprints are left. It is just like the sky. A bird flies, no footprints are left. Nobody can follow. Just take a delight in me. Be happy with me. And you will absorb. And that will become a light within you. And that will show you the path. But don't copy. Don't believe, disbelieve. Don't be head-oriented. Don't be a monkey. Be a man. Enough for today.